The Cosmo with Scott De Butler on RTE Pulse in association with Gaystar News. For all your LGBTI news, gaystarnews.com.
You're listening to The Cosmo with myself, Scott Baudelaire, here on RTE Pulse. Now, I'm delighted to be joined in studio by a very, very talented singer who recently came out as gay. More importantly, he has represented us in the Eurovision Song Contest and done us very, very proud last year. I'm very delighted to be joined in studio by Ryan Dolan. Ryan, you're very welcome along.
Thanks very much, Scott. It's good to be here.
So listen, tell us about the brand new single that you have just released, or it's just about to be released,
yes.
Start Again.
Yeah, getting released on Friday.
So Start Again sounds very symbolic in a lot of ways.
I think people's thinking it's something to do with the Eurovision, but it's actually not.
Okay, not to do with the career, in fairness.
No.
But
definitely not.
Tell us about the inspiration behind it, because if anyone has seen the video to it so far, they've noticed that it's quite moving, I have to admit. It's very, very sweet, but there's a very strong message behind it.
Yeah.
What's the inspiration behind it?
Well, the inspiration behind the song is, I suppose, it's about myself growing up and kind of come to terms with my sexuality. And the song's really about accepting yourself, and so I've always wanted to write a song about that. It's been a few years since I've came out to my family and friends, but the next step was to come out to my fans, so
yeah.
that was a big step for me too. So this is the way I wanted to do it, without sort of.
And was this the plan from the start? Because one of the things that struck me even last year was that, you know, the Eurovision Song Contest, it's not a gay festival, but it's a very gay-friendly festival.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
So how come you're making this announcement now as opposed to possibly around that time?
When I was talking to it, I suppose my friends and family, if it ever comes up in conversation, am I sort of going to say it or not?
Yeah.
But I sort of said to myself, if it comes up, I'll say it. No, I'm not really that worried, but I wasn't going to go out and
start making an announcement.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you know what I mean? The only reason I sort of wanted to talk about it now is because it suits what the single's about, and obviously people that watch the video, they'll know that there's obviously something there, so
yeah.
You know, how to sort of explain what it was about, like. So I wasn't really interested at the time. I don't think it's that big of a deal that I had to say anything at the time of the Eurovision, but now, just because it suits what the single's about.
Yeah, it's in context, in other words.
Yeah, yeah.
In the video that goes along with it, and it was recorded in Attboy, we'll talk about that in a second, but the story behind it is of a young lad who is bullied. So in a lot of ways, it's an anti-bullying song.
Yeah.
In a lot of other ways, or more specifically, it's anti-homophobic bullying.
Yeah.
Tell us about that. That obviously is taken a lot from your own experience then, is it?
Yeah, well, growing up in school, I suppose I wouldn't say at all that I was badly bullied, because nobody really knew that I was gay in school or anything like that. But I suppose because I knew I was, it made me really sort of, I think, vulnerable. And I was always found it hard to, you know, make friends and talk to people. I was always backward.
Yeah.
And it was definitely because of that. You know, when you've got something in the back of your head all the time. So that's really what that was about. For the video, I wanted to do a video that was really, really moving and emotional and really grab people's attention and address bullying, especially homophobic bullying, because I know it happens a lot, and suicide as well in youngsters. You know, it's happening more and more all the time, like, and it's terrible, like. So I just really wanted to address that.
Yeah, I think one of the great things, not only about the song but also about the video, is that it could be anywhere. I think that's one of the best parts about it. You know, it could have been a school in Ireland, whether it was north or south. It could have been in England. It could have been in the US as well. So I think that makes it much more relatable.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
I guess the other thing as well is that, you know, growing up in Strabane, you know, I can imagine that there weren't necessarily many LGBT role models in a lot of ways. You know, was it a case of, you know, you'd have to go to maybe somewhere like Derry or Belfast to actually come across something? Or,
well,
like, how disconnected did you feel because of it?
To be honest, that really didn't bother me that much. I suppose when I was younger, like, I didn't go to gay clubs and things all the time. Like, I sort of just went to normal clubs with like just my friends, just in local places. But I suppose Strabane wouldn't have been the most. It's a pretty small town. But to be honest, it's actually recently, actually 2 years ago, it opened up its first gay bar.
Yeah, and then this year it's had its first Pride as well.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so that's really good. Like, and it's one of the first towns, small towns in Ireland, they do both of them things. So it's, since I've came out in with my family and friends and essentially my whole town and community, everybody in the towns really got behind me. I've never had no bother at all, and I think people fear that as well. Yeah. And I know there is some narrow-minded people out there that will say things, but the majority of people don't care, you know. So that's another thing I would say to young people, is you build it up in your head so much. Yeah. And you turn it into this massive thing that it's not really.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not that big a deal, really, I don't think.
Let's go back to the Eurovision. You finished off almost that part of your career.
Yeah.
And when you got back to Ireland, what was the first thing that was going through your head in terms of where do we go from here?
I suppose with the result of the Eurovision was really disheartening, I suppose. But I got a lot of great support back home and people in Ireland.
I was absolutely shocked. I genuinely was still looking there, kind of thinking, how the hell did that happen? That was one brilliant song. Did anything go through your head, kind of thinking, okay, well, something must have gone wrong, or was it just a case of luck?
I think it was just bad luck, and I think the voting system, the way it was last year. You know, I was annoyed about it at the time, but I got over it pretty quickly.
Yeah.
You know, and I've been doing lots of gigs around Ireland and Europe all last summer, and I've got a lot more coming up this year, so it's really done me well. I've made lots and lots of fans from all over Europe that I wouldn't have made if I hadn't done the Eurovision.
Yeah, so either way, it was a good thing.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. Definitely.
Well, for anyone who wants to possibly get involved with, say, Eurovision, or maybe they're thinking in their mind that they do want to represent Ireland.
Yeah.
We've seen over the last few days with Eurosong in Dublin, that or at least on the Late Late Show, that it caused a bit of controversy, to say the least.
And
so what were your thoughts on that, or even what was going through your head when you saw the news of it?
I actually enjoyed it. I thought it was funny.
It was one of the more entertaining parts
it was entertaining, yeah, definitely. I don't know. Everybody's the right to their opinion, I think. I think what Bolly was saying was a bit harsh. I don't think Louis Walsh has that much of influence on what people's going to be voting about. And he was talking about people tweeting for Owen. But like last year, Niall Horan was tweeting for one of the contestants that was against me. And it got massive publicity out of it.
Yeah.
But no, she still didn't win. The public's going to choose who they want on the night. I just think Billy might have done his act more bad than good, especially that argument just before she was about to perform. I thought it was absolutely terrible. I felt so sorry for her having to stand up there and sing after that. Like, I don't know how she done it when she done brilliantly.
Yeah, I have to admit, I fully agree as well, because she is a fantastic singer.
Yeah, she was. She was absolutely brilliant. Yeah,
I don't know if you saw as well. It was one of the things that I came across recently. She did a mashup of Same Love and part of Panty Speech.
Oh, really?
And her voice is so strong. So
I'd say
now she'll have a good career. But for any kind of advice for kind of people who want to get into the music, and possibly even some, you know, young LGBT people who are trying to get into music as well.
Yeah.
Any advice?
I suppose it's just sticking with it. Like, you have to, you know, the people go out and they get disheartened after maybe a year or 2 years. But like, you have to really stick at it and you know, create new music all the time and keep pushing and, you know, knocking on every door you can, really.
Has there been a lot of knocking doors, do you think?
Yeah, there definitely has. Like, you know, and it's the same with, I think, everybody. Like, you make it some people that are extremely lucky and something happens, like a video goes viral or something like that, like, and they get a big break. But for the majority of people, you just have to keep going and trying your best, like, and that's all I can say.
I think you're a good example of things going very, very well, though, because, like, let's even look at the likes of the video for Start Again, and that got something like 35,000 views within 24 hours.
Yeah, something like that. Like, it's been crazy. Like, it's just jumping up about, I think, 12,000-13,000 views a day, and it's getting more and more every day.
And it's already been featured on Huffington Post Gay Voices as well.
Yeah,
like, what's going through your mind when you see that this isn't just getting, you know, a bit of coverage in Ireland, but this is now going international?
Yeah, that's I really didn't expect that so like within 3 days, like, of a song, you know, it's been getting all this attention all over the world. And it makes me feel great, I suppose. You know, because not just because it's like my song and it's good because of that, but just because it's
the message as well.
The message is great, like, you know, and I'm getting hundreds and hundreds of like private messages on Facebook and public messages and messages on the actual video itself, and just people all over the world that are really relating to the video and the song. And it's not just like gay people. I've heard some comments of just different people who are in a completely different situation relating to the song, and something I suppose I never expected when I was writing the song about a certain thing. But it's good that people can just pick out their own things out of it.
Yeah, you know what gotcha. I mean?
So no, but it's been, I'm really shocked like that it's been doing so well, and fingers crossed it just continues to do well now.
Absolutely. Well, listen, best of luck with it.
Thanks very much.
No doubt there's a serious talent there, so hopefully we'll be playing a lot more of your stuff over the next
while.
Ryan Dolan, thank you very much for coming in.
Thanks very much, Scott.
RTE Pulse,
The Cosmo with Scott the Butler, radio for Ireland's gay and lesbian community.
You're listening to The Cosmo with myself, Scott the Butler, here on RTE Pulse. Now it is time for our LGBT news update, and to join me and discuss a few issues and news pieces that are circulating around LGBT media, I have Tris Reid-Smith, editor of Gay Star News in London. How are you, mister?
Very good, thank you. How are you?
Not too bad, not too bad at all. Now, we've had a few stories of interest that have been going around online, and a lot of people in the LGBT community are talking about. There's one bit of breaking news that you guys have in Gay Star News to do with the Pope. This is interesting. Tell us a bit more about this.
Yeah, this is a story which actually isn't quite on the site yet. We're working on it at the moment. But in quite a surprising interview, the Pope has indicated that while he wouldn't agree to same-sex marriage equality, he would possibly be okay with civil unions. So for the Pope to say that is pretty earth-shattering. We don't quite know the full ramifications of it yet. It was said in Italian, so we're piecing together the story at the moment, but it's an interesting development, and it comes after a week of interesting developments from the Vatican, including the news that in possibly the most ridiculous piece of international diplomacy ever, the Pope has decided to go out to Uganda, we're told, and to give them a visit, which will include praising the martyrs who were executed in Uganda before colonial times for refusing to have gay sex with the king of Buganda, which was the sort of part, the kingdom which was a large part of Uganda before the colonial era. So, you know, at the point which a lot of the EU, the US, a lot of people are criticising Uganda's new anti-gay laws very stringently, the Pope seems to be, you know, undermining that whole effort by going out and indicating this, that these people were martyrs and that gay sex is something to be resisted. But countermounting that, he's also indicating that maybe same-sex unions are possible.
I think it's a really, really strange situation that, and in some ways, Pope Francis has been, this has been typical of him since he's been brought in as Pope, that, you know, it's very conflicting stories that we're getting. You know, say some media were calling him, you know, man of the year or last year, or person of the year, and because of his, you know, more forward-thinking or possibly progressive views, you know, in general in terms of the Catholic Church, and then all of a sudden he's making certain steps back. Like, is it the case of one step forward, two steps back, do you think?
I'm not sure it's one step forward, two steps back, because, you know, that indicates that we are stalled or possibly going in reverse. What I think is the case is that the Catholic Church is in flux under his leadership. People aren't quite clear where the drive is going to be. And I don't think that we're going to see necessarily a clear picture emerging anytime soon. I don't think we're going to see a massively liberal Pope finally changing, you know, the years of bigotry, nor do I think that we're going to see a Pope who necessarily holds all of the views of Benedict and the predecessors. So I think that it's going to be a mess, and it's probably going to be unsatisfactory. And there's a bit of me which wonders if he's trying to figure it out for himself too.
Yeah, I guess there is an aspect of that as well. Like, you know, it's such a massive institution that I guess any sort of change is going to be a bit iffy for a while before it starts to go on, hopefully, a more progressive course. But I guess it remains to be seen what happens over the next while. Moving on to the Oscars, and Ellen DeGeneres, of course, was hosting the Oscars recently. Tell us a bit about this, because this is something that's on the lips of everyone, really.
Yeah, everybody's been talking about it, and actually the one thing I think is fairly clear is that Ellen was a massive success in the Oscars. I think that, you know, we know that there's 43.7 million viewers Her ratings were fantastic.
That's amazing.
Real ratings gold for the Oscars. I mean, even for the Oscars, she made this incredible, you know, or got this incredible selfie, which she shared out on Twitter with the you know, all of these big stars on, like Brad Pitt and Bradley Cooper and all of these amazing people on, which sort of melted down Twitter a little bit.
It did a bit. I kind of felt sorry for Barack Obama, considering he's no longer the most retweeted person on Twitter. Bless him.
Yeah, it's a little shame. Funny enough, I don't know if you've seen the people might have seen The Simpsons have now done a cartoon version of that film.
Yeah.
Which is quite comical with Homer muscling in to the action. The other thing everybody has been talking about is, did she go a step too far with a Liza Minnelli joke? For people who haven't been following that, Liza was sitting in the Oscars and Ellen made the joke that the person sitting there was actually a male Liza Minnelli impersonator, albeit a very convincing one. So it seems that, you know, that didn't necessarily impress Ms. Minnelli all that much, but she's prepared to forgive Ellen for it. So it's been a fun Oscars. I was disappointed I wasn't there to get the free pizza Ellen was hanging out, but you know.
It is, Tris, it is kind of funny though, when you think of someone like Liza Minnelli, she's been such a gay icon for so long, you kind of expect her to just kind of laugh it off, but I guess at the same time, you know, being associated with a man in drag, possibly for a woman, isn't the nicest of compliments or jokes, but, you know, you kind of wonder, yeah. Considering, you know, she is so well known as a gay icon that she'd taken on the chin, but still, at least she's been diplomatic about it anyway. Finally, this is a story that you guys have been involved with Gay Star News. It's been the topic of a lot of debate in the UK and indeed in other countries. This is involving the former British soldier, James Wharton. Tell us about this.
Yeah, he wrote an op-ed for a magazine which has recently launched in the UK called Wink. And that magazine, in that article, he said that gay saunas should basically be abolished, should be closed down. And he had a number of reasons for saying that. One of them was around sexual health. One of them was around drug use. But also, the overriding thing people picked up on was this idea that by having gay saunas, it provided some kind of ammunition to anti-gay forces who could criticise the sort of sexual relationships happening in these sort of seedy environments. Now, obviously, people's reaction to that have been quite strong. A lot of people have said, well, you know, we should be able to do what we want. Other people have said we shouldn't base our model on what's acceptable on straight people, and have pointed to the obvious examples of straight people going dogging and straight people actually having saunas as well.
Yeah.
And all sorts of, you know, swingers parties and whatever. So there's kinkiness everywhere, which is maybe a good thing. The final thing is, you know, in terms of the drugs, the access to sexual health information and all of that kind of thing. Obviously, a lot of sex happens in private parties, organised on apps and online, let alone cruising grounds and so on. So one of the arguments is, do saunas actually provide a slightly safer outlet for that kind of thing to happen, where there is some kind of, you know, responsible, sober, non-drug-taking adult available if something goes wrong, if someone takes an overdose? There is some kind of prevention on too much drugs getting into the venue sometimes. And if it's all happening in private houses, would we be better off? Particularly given how dangerous cruising grounds can be in terms of crime and muggings and so on. So, you know, it's raised a real question about it, but it's also raised the question of how we view ourselves as a community. Mm-hmm. Are we happy with ourselves? Are we self-critical? You know, so all of that has spilled out onto the carpet, and everybody's desperately trying to sweep it up.
Yeah, well, I guess one of the things that he did say himself was that, you know, as a columnist, it is always a good thing when you set off debate, and that's definitely something that he has done. So hopefully we'll see a bit of a result from that debate now that people are talking about it a bit more. Obviously, for all of these stories and more, you can go along to gaystarnews.com. But in the meantime, Tris Reid-Smith, editor of Gay Star News, thank you very much for being on the show.
Thank you. RTE
Pulse. The Cosmo with Scott the Butler. Radio for Ireland's gay and lesbian community.
You're listening to The Cosmo on RTE Pulse. It's Jenny Butler hijacking the airwaves from Scott to Butler again. I'm getting an awful habit of doing this, but I like it. So what I'm going to do now is take you all the way from Dublin to Phoenix, Arizona, to talk a little bit about drag kings and male illusion pageants. So what we're going to do is talk to Freddie Prince Charming. Freddie is a drag king and a male illusionist based in Phoenix, Arizona. Very interesting, award-winning character. Freddie, thanks for joining us on the show.
No problem. Happy to be here.
Can you tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do and how the drag king and male illusionist community kind of fits in with your character?
Absolutely. I've spent most of my life living all over the world, and I ended up settling in Phoenix, Arizona. I've been doing drag since about 2006. I co-host a weekly webcast, happens every Wednesday night, broadcast from Arizona, called Let's Have a Fifi. And out of drag, I have a boring office job and I do dog rescue.
Can you tell us a little bit about why pageantry is so important to the drag community in the States?
We're just obsessed with pageants. I actually recently did an article for a drag publication that listed all the different pageant systems and all of their preliminaries, and there were hundreds. I took up 7 or 8 pages typed of nothing but pageant systems and where you can find prelims. And it's a chance for kings, queens, bio boys, even femmes now, to have an opportunity to really step up their game, because you know, you can go do a bar show, that's great, whatever, the rules don't necessarily apply, you can kind of slack off a little bit, but when it comes to pageants, everybody goes all out. It is absolutely insane. Like right now, happening in Nashville, Tennessee, is a triple crowning event. It's Mr. US of A MI, Mr. US of A MI Classic, and Miss Diva US of AMI. So there's 3 different pageants going on at the same time right now in Nashville. And the pictures that are coming from there are absolutely ridiculous. And having competed in that system myself for a couple of years, I can tell you it is crazy. People show up with everything short of a moving van full of props and sets, and it's crazy.
In terms of, I guess, maybe the difference between a drag pageant and maybe an illusionist pageant, because I know there is a difference between the two, so could you maybe tell us a little bit about the difference between maybe being a drag king and being a male illusionist? Because obviously as an illusionist, you're going to have to up the game from being just a straight drag king, right?
That's the theory behind it. The terms can be interchangeable, depends on who you ask. Some people say that, you know, a drag king is a biological woman who kind of does it for fun, maybe throws on men's clothing, goes out to a bar, does their thing, and that's it. When it comes to being a male illusionist, you're raising the bar even higher. Mm-hmm. You get out there and you work on costuming, you work on makeup and contouring. I wear probably just about as much makeup as the queens do, so that my face looks masculine. You know, I wear 2 binders to flatten my chest and flatten out my curves, because I'm a curvy girl. I got hips. And if you step out on stage and people go, is that a boy or a girl? That's it right there. You know, a drag king, you're there, you're like, oh, that's fun. Yay, lesbian with men's clothes on. Hippie, you know. With the illusion of it, you're thinking bigger. You're thinking Vegas. You're thinking just everything. It's the whole package. It's the makeup. It's the costuming. It's the stage presence. It's everything.
In terms of that, then I know that you have your own company, which is Fancy Pants Couture. Just to tell people a little bit about that and kind of how you kind of came up with the idea for Fancy Pants Couture and what you can offer people with that.
Well, bow ties are all the rage. Thank you, Doctor Who.
Yes, they are.
You know, Doctor Who made a comeback, and all of a sudden, oh, look, bow ties are cool again. And my idea behind Fancy Pants Couture was, you know, I'm looking at all these people wearing bow ties, and I'm looking at you know, kings and bio boys in pageants for presentation, evening wear, things like that. A lot of them are wearing bow ties, and I'm like, how can I make a bow tie and dress it up and make it really freaking cool and unique? And I made one for myself just sort of randomly. It was just, you know, an old bow tie I had hanging around. I put in a few studs, added a couple of chains, and every time I wore it, people were like, oh my god, that's really awesome, I want one.
Yep.
I was like,
that's how it starts.
How can I make this work for me? No, I actually you know, I started really started making them the bow ties probably, you know, back in December, and it's been awesome. I love seeing my bow ties out and about, and there's a whole slew of them in Nashville right now, and I'm so excited to see the pictures.
That's awesome. And I know that in terms of the bow ties, you also offer people who mightn't want a bow tie, I know you offer kind of alternatives to that as well, like maybe like hair bows and things like that as well.
I do. I've actually had several people order hair bows. I've had queens. My co-host Felicia Miner from Let's Have a Fifi actually has one that she wears quite often. She's worn it for several photo shoots and all sorts of stuff. She loves hers. I actually just sold a coworker three bow tie, hair bows for her sister. I can also do straight ties, but straight ties require a little bit more communication with the customer, shall we say. Just because I'm not going to, you know, have to make sure that it's going to be the right length, because I can't handle it if your tie is too short or too long. That would bother me, you know. But I can do straight ties. I even have people placing orders for a matching bow tie and shirt.
Just in terms then of how people can find out a little bit more about you, maybe if they want to find out a little bit more about the pageant system in general, or they want to just see some kick-ass drag photos, how can they find out a little bit more about you?
You can find me. I actually have a website. It's freddyprinzcharming.com. That's FreddyPrinz, as in zipper, Charming.com. The easiest place to find things without having to try and take note of all sorts of stuff is if you just go to my website, they're all over there. But you can also find myself, Fancy Pants Couture, and Let's Have a Fifi on Facebook. You just have to go searching for them, and we should pop right up.
Freddie Prinze Charming, all the way from Phoenix, Arizona. Thank you very much for joining us on The Cosmo this evening.
Oh, it was my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
The Cosmo with Scott De Butler on RTE Pulse in association with Gaystar News. For all your LGBTI news, gaystarnews.com.